Today I want to talk about dreams, the topic of dreams. Make sure everyone is up. No sleeping. Yes, topic is an extension, a continuation from yesterday, because this week is the parsha of Nesias Kapayim. Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha, parsha Asnoso, is parsha Birchas Kohanim. And Chazal tells us that if a person has a dream, has a disturbing dream, the proper thing to do is to stand when the Kohanim, when they raise their hands, and at the time when they recite Duchening, he should be mispalel for hatovas chaloim, that the evil dream should be transformed into a good dream, or the evil should be what? That's what we say. So we say this in the chutz diaretz. So we are the yihiratzas. The Kohanim, they sing. And while they're singing, so we recite the Ribbono Shel Olam twice, during the first brach and the second brach, and then at the end, after the third, we don't. The third is a special nusach.
I think it used to be that they sing it all three times.
They do sing it all. They sing it three times.
No, they used to say the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Yes, so the Mishnah Berurah says, the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Gra. The Mishnah Berurah brings out from the Gra that it's a mistake what we do, what's printed in the Siddurim, that the third time to recite this long Nusach with Shemais, you see this is a very bizarre Nusach, that's not correct, you should say it three times. The Ribbono Shel Olam that you said the first time, you should say the second, you say it three times, and the third thing was not meant to be said. How did this get into the Siddur? You have to ask the printers. You have to ask the printers why they said that twice is enough, and the third time we should insert the new nusach. Okay, whatever it is.
Only on Yom Tov.
So during the weekday. So the truth is, during the weekday in Eretz Yisrael, when the Kohanim, they never do it. In Eretz Yisrael, they never do it. Let's take a step back. They don't sing. Why? Because people don't have dreams every single night. People don't have their dreams every single night. You only have dreams once in a while. So in Chutz Li'aretz, so we only do it occasionally, five times a year. So it's a guarantee. Guarantee that from Pesach to Shavuos, and from Shavuos to Rosh Hashanah, and I guess even from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, maybe since we only duchen occasionally, those moments are the times when we should be mispalel for the dreams that we have the entire year. In Eretz Yisrael, we duchen every single day, so then the rule is, if you have a bad dream the night before, then only you'll go solo. When the Kohanim are saying Yivarechecha, then you should quickly say it, or it doesn't have to be when they're actually saying the words, because the truth is, when the Kohanim are actually reciting the words Yivarecha, you're supposed to concentrate. It means after. When the Shliach Tzibur begins Sim Shalom in Eretz Yisrael, then you should say the Ribbono Shel Olam once. And therefore, you can look around in Shul in Eretz Yisrael, you can see who had a bad dream last night. Anyone that's saying the Ribbono Shel Olam during Sim Shalom is because he had a dream that thought, what? Then there's something called Atavas Chaloim. That's an entire Nusach in the back of the Siddur. People are very nervous. I know in Yeshiva used to be a fellow that almost every, at least once a week, can you please stay after davening for Atavas Chaloim? Get 10 people and say all the psukim. It really got out of hand. The person's a nervous wreck every single day. He needs a psychologist. That's right. Exactly. He needs a psychologist. Okay. So this halacha. This is what it says in the Gemara. The person. Now the question is why? Why is it the appropriate moment in time to stand behind the Kohanim and mevakesh for hatovas chaloim when the Kohanim recite Birchas Kohanim? So there are many, many reasons. Two which caught my attention. I have here a sefer called Mishnas Hachaloimis. Okay, so Sefer, I have this for many years. I once spent, called Mishnas Hachaloimos. This has been published, I don't know, probably 10 years ago. I had this sitting on the shelf for many, many years. I once gave a shiur on dreams. I spent time going through sections of it. I don't remember too much of it. And he basically was malakit everything he possibly could want to know about dreams. I just read through it yesterday, just a few pages, just for the Hagdama, just to speak about today. But one thing I remember from when I spent time on this Sefer many years ago is, you walk away from this Sefer with the impression that there's almost no such thing bizman hazeh as having a dream that has any real significance. That theme comes out in the Sefer about 1,000 times. Anyone thinks they had a dream, and that dream was a communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from a Malach, or from something significant, you really make... You need a psychiatrist. All the dreams in this day and age, we're living so far, we're living in times that are so far removed from Kedusha, that a person should be in a madrega where there's a real communication, you're really way off. It's nothing more than some subconscious thought that's bothering you during the day, and your mind is playing games with you, and you have some creative thoughts, and if you're afraid, no, yeah?
I just want to get this in. There's a famous psychologist named Eric Fromm.
Yeah.
And he wrote a book, which I read back in the day, called The Forgotten Language, and it's about dream interpretation. It seems that as a young man in Europe, he had learned in yeshiva, and you see the influence of Perico Roet on this book of his.
Interesting. Okay, this theme comes out over and over. There's no way today a dream has any significance whatsoever. Now, however, that's absolutely true. That's the way.
Meaning, or we can't.
No meaning. No meaning. Period. Good point. No meaning. No meaning. A person wakes up in the morning, he had a dream. He had a dream. So, someone came to me in a dream. My mother, my father came. My grandmother came to me in a dream. And this can happen. That's going to happen. Really, you think you're on a spiritual level where your neshama went to Shemayim and communicated with the neshamas in Shemayim, or they came to you? They were going to come down to you and go and speak to you and tell you important information. It's the way it's presented here. Okay, the way it's presented in this sefer is you got to be dreaming. You got to be dreaming to think that your dream has any significance whatsoever.
Or as they say, it's in your dreams.
On the other hand, okay, and I accept that, and it really, really made that impression. I had an impression on me. On the other hand, you know, you hear stories. My parents used to always tell me stories, especially during the war years, during from my grandparents, during the time of the Holocaust, and even after the Holocaust, of people that had dreams, and this is serious stuff. It's really serious stuff, and it's hard. I know my grandfather. My mother always told me stories. My grandfather was about to give a lot of money as an investment. Somebody had a very close friend, and they were going to invest. Going to invest in something that was a sure win. And he had a dream during the Aseres he made Shuva, and someone came to him in a dream. No, he didn't have the dream. I'm sorry, he didn't have the dream. Someone came over to my grandfather during the Aseres he made Shuva. You know my grandfather, Roshavshik, came over to him, I think it was during the Aseres he made Shuva, and he said to him, I had a dream, and there was a lot of detail. I don't remember, my mother told me the story, I forgot what she told me. I had a, that you're planning on investing with this person, and I had a dream to come tell you, don't give him the money. Don't do it. You're going to lose the money. Don't do it. And my grandfather was very shaken up. He was very shaken up. He didn't give him the money, and the person lost all the money. And had my grandfather given the money, he would have been in a very, very, very bad state of affairs. And these stories, are these stories true? You know, what are the details? Maybe the person really knew. The investment was just trying to advise him. You know, there's always another side. But yet you hear over and over stories. And just to dismiss every single dream out of hand, you know, you can't do that. And especially during the Holocaust, that is a given. During the Holocaust, there are probably thousands of stories of people, their relatives came to them in a dream and told them, do this. I know my own, one of my relatives, he had a dream. My mother used to tell me the story where he was told him, jump, wake up and jump over the fence. And it was a recurring dream during that night. And he finally said to me, I cannot end, I'm about to die. He was in a morgue, I think. He was in a morgue with one of my relatives. And his sister came to him and said to him, wait, get up and jump over the fence. And he finally mustered enough strength to do it, and it saved his life. Okay, so you'll tell me maybe it was just subconscious thoughts. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. It's hard to dismiss every single dream as being fiction. But on the other hand, when you read this, you walk away, like I said, you got to be dreaming to think that the person today is communicating with Shemayim, with anybody. Because let's just go through some of the basic yisoidis.
So that everything comes from Hashem.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a direct communication, he's causing you to have that dream.
Okay, that's an idea.
Can you interpret the dream? Sometimes it's more direct.
But that's not really a dream. But that's not what we call a dream. That's like really very, it's a coincidence. That's a very indirect type of Hashem caused you to have something to happen during the day, so you should think about something at night.
You wake up in the morning, you remember some. Most of the time,
I don't know,
some stuff you forget, all mixed up.
Okay, it's a very interesting. Now let's just go back to what we mentioned before. Why is it a very important idea? Why is it? This itself is really just worth the whole share. This idea is what it says over here. Is why is it that Chazal told us that if you do have a bad dream and you're frightened, you should be mispalel at the time when the Kohanim dochen. So there are two ends which caught my attention. Number one, from all of the times, all of the moments of tefillah when we daven, when we are mechavein, which moment of tefillah can you identify as a moment of intense kavana? And the answer is duchening. And the proof is duchening. The proof is because that's the only in chutz liaretz. That's the only time where we learned yesterday with the Ramah. The Ramah says in chutz liaretz we don't have kavana, so we don't duchen the entire year. There's no excuse why in chutz liaretz we should not duchen every single day. Every single day, the Ramah says we don't do it. Ashkenazim don't do it because you have to have kavana. If you don't have kavana, it's a bracha livatala. You're being mekalkel. So therefore, we cannot have confidence that we have kavana, but at least on Yom Tov, a few times a year, everyone is besimcha. That's a moment when there's real serious kavana. Therefore, Shabbos Ramos says the people are torrid and hirhurim about their parnasa. Yes. Even on Shabbos, you worry what's going to be tomorrow, parnasa. But Yom Tov is the one time when a person already can train his mind to have kavana. Therefore, being that a person, he needs serious tefillah to be meitiv the chaloim, to mevatel a gzeira ra, so the ideal time when you can be certain that there's kavana, that people are you're concentrating, and the kohanim are concentrating. The kohanim are concentrating and giving you bracha, being a conduit of bracha, and you are concentrating on being recipients of bracha, this is the moment of kavana. And a dream is serious business. Mikra Hadin, a bad dream, Hashem is sending you a message. It's serious business. You need real serious help. It's a moment of kavana. That's one very important yisod. It's an intense moment of kavana. Another very powerful answer is that the dream is a minor, a dream is a minor prophecy. Chazal tell us that a dream is 1/60th of nevuah. And if you have a few moments, I'll tell you that he cites all the differences between a dream and nevuah. But a dream is considered to be a minor prophecy. And when the Kohanim duchen, this is an amazing yesod, duchening is together even bizman hazeh, a prophecy. What is a prophet? What is a navi? A navi said the word of Hashem. A Navi's mind and body was taken over by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was a tool in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to relay a message. The Kohanim are relaying a message. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. When Kohanim duchen and they give bracha, they're acting as Nevi'im. We're learning Yirmiyah, we're always differentiating between the Nevi'im and the Kohanim. But the truth is, the Kohanim themselves many times served in the capacity as the Yirmiyah was a Navi. He was a Kohen. The Kohanim served in the capacity of Nevi'im. The only Nevuah we have left, Bizman Hazeh, is Duchening. Kohanim give over, they stand there, their minds are taken over, they're giving the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is coming out of their mouths, Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. A dream is a minor prophecy. It's a minor prophecy that's not good, a bad message. In order to be mevatel b'shishim, in order to be mevatel the nevuah that is unpleasant, in a nevuah that is pleasant, is we're mevatel it during the time of Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim is a nevuah. A bad dream is also a nevuah. But a bad dream is only 1/60th of a nevuah. So Bittul applies the rules of Bittul B'shishim. So therefore, the best, the ideal moment of Atavas Chaloim is during the time of Birchas Kohanim. And it doesn't hurt that there are 60 letters. There are 60 letters in Birchas Kohanim. Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha, 60 letters. So the 60 letters of Birchas Kehanim, a mevatel, a nevuah that's unpleasant, a nevuah of a dream at the end of it. Now let's just go through some of the you say this. This is again the entire Sefer. It's jam packed with some fascinating material. He goes off on a lot of tangents in this Sefer. It's not only about dreams. Anytime that he has something that's interesting, he elaborates like Shadim. He really has a whole section I want to shade him. But let me just present you some few little tidbits. Number one, in this Sefer, what he tries to show is that dreams can be broken down into six categories. Whenever a person has a dream, it's going to be one of the six categories. The category number one is a true dream, what he calls here Hachaloim Hanavui. Hanavoi, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it, which means
a
prophetic dream. It's a real dream. Now this is a dream which basically is a form of prophecy. Okay, even we know that in the prophets there are 10 expressions of prophecy, and there are different madrigals. I'm not sure exactly which category this is in, probably from the lowest, but one of the categories of true prophecy is where the prophecy is revealed to the prophet in a dream. Okay, there's no prophecy today. And obviously, that will come, maybe in a few months, come to some of that expression. But basically, the one that's speaking to you is Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is actually speaking to the prophet directly. And that's the madrega that is, and there's no question that such a thing today does not exist.
Is the prophecy literal, or does he have to interpret the prophecy?
So a true prophecy is where you're given the... That's one of the differences. Okay, we're going to come down a little bit. If I can find the page, the right page for this. Is the difference between a prophecy and a dream? You're asking a general question. What exactly then is the difference between a dream and a prophecy? One of the differences, he has like 10 differences, is that a prophecy, you're given by Hashem the interpretation as well. In a dream, you're not given the interpretation. A dream is you're presented with something symbolic or some story or some event, and it's up to you, the human being, or to seek guidance to make the interpretation. Prophecy in a dream is the same thing. Hashem is speaking to you and he's telling you something symbolic, but Hashem is also in the dream, telling you what this means. Like, yeah, Yirmiyah, the beginning of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah, what do you see, Yirmiyah? I see a makel shokhet. Hashem says, very good. You see, and you know what this means? I'm going to come swiftly upon Yerushalayim. What else do you see? I see a pat whose spout is turned to the north. Hashem, very good. And you know what this means? It means that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come mitzafon tipos acharah. You see, in the beginning of Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah is dreaming. Yirmiyah is not on the madrig of Moshe Rabbeinu where he had prophecies when he was awake. Yirmiyah was asleep. It was in a dream. But he's given, he sees something symbolic. He sees a pot that's bubbling. He sees an almond tree. And Hashem tells him, do you know, what do you see? And let me explain to you exactly what this means. That's one of the major differences between a dream and a prophecy that comes to a human being in a dream. Now this, but this category, this is the key point, is who is the one that is having the dialogue with this human being? It is none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That you have to be a prophet. Prophecy came to an end during the end of the Bayis Rishon, so there's no one today can come along and say he had a dream, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to me in a dream. Doesn't exist such a thing. That is off the charts. Now the next category of a dream, which the way he presents will basically never happen today, is where this is a true dream, where the one that speaks to you is a malach, is a true malach, an angel. One of Hashem's messengers, he comes and he relates to you information. He presents a riddle, he presents some image or some event, does not provide you with the interpretation, but it's a malach. Now, person, theoretically, on a madrigal, on a very high madrigal, it's not a prophecy, because a prophecy comes only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So if you're not dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dealing with a malach, you're already now in the category of a dream. Category number three. Now this takes up a lot of space. A chaloim that comes through shadim. Now this dream. Now basically, what he shows in this sefer is that if there is such a dream, if a person today can be convinced that he had a real dream, it's this category. It's category number three, and that is a dream where the one that is speaking to him is a shade. Now, what is a shade? Now, we have a very low impression. You know, we think a shade, and they're all demons and evildoers and who knows what. That's not so simple. He has here almost on a whole section to define exactly the meaning of a shade. A shade is not a malach. A shade is a creation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that is created. What? Yes, chicken feet. Chicken feet. He basically says there are three different types of shadim. There are shadim that operate in the upper world. There are shadim that operate in what he calls the middle world. Everything is sourced. A lot of this is Zohar, a lot of this is Kabbalah. And there are shadim that operate on the lowest world and was the closest to us. The shadim that operate higher, they're not malachim. Again, distinctions between the two is way beyond our understanding, but the point he makes is they're not reliable. Shadim are not reliable. They present. They have a tendency to lie. They have a tend to have an agenda.
Politicians.
They have an agenda. They have an agenda. They have an agenda.
What's their purpose in the upper world?
I don't know. Some of these shadim are created by us. Our sins create. We have this legend that when we do an aver, you create a malach. No such thing. A malach is kula kodesh. When you do an aver, you create a shade. What do you call a shade? There are different madregos of shadim. The shadim that are in the higher world are more reliable. The shadim that are in the lower world are a bunch of liars. They are out to get us, and occasionally, this is the way he presents it. They may carry a kernel of truth after you discount all of the lies and the dvarim v'talim and their agenda. If a person today can convince himself that he had a dream, it can very well be that the dream came from the koyach of shadim. But being that we are on such a low level, it can only come from the shadim that are on the lowest possible level. And the lowest possible level, every shade is suspect as being a liar. A liar with his own agenda, trying to scare the person for their own satisfaction or as a punishment to the person for the avers that he has done. I'll explain some of the terminology in a few moments. Okay, that's category number three. Category number four, I don't know what this means. He doesn't really elaborate upon this too much. I don't know what this means. He says a dream that comes through mazalos. Hamazel v'yakechavim. I don't know what this means. He doesn't really explain very much what this means. Category number four, now he just basically means hirhuri liba, which means it's total nonsense. It's a subconscious Freud. Freud. It's just a subconscious.
Practically.
The one who wrote this? No, he doesn't say anything about anything. To write a sefer like this, you have to be possessed. You have to be possessed by the demon to write a sefer like this. Okay, you have to obviously. I don't remember. I really read very few pages today through a paper, but basically he says here huri liba. It means things which are total nonsense. It just means subconscious. And then he has in Chazal he quotes other things which even the lower level dreams. It's not even from your tmachshava. It's due to something you ate. Was due to something that, or it's even lower. In other words, a person can have a healthy diet, but he has a creative mind. There's a lower level where the reason why he's having these thoughts is a direct consequence of medication that he took, or a direct consequence of something that he ate, which is changing the chemical balance in his mind. It's not even due to the creative powers of the imagination.
It's not a dream. It's
hallucination.
He's splitting hairs here. He really is splitting hairs. But basically, he sums up his entire sefer after doing an enormous research into six categories. Again, there's a real dream, which is a communication, which is really it's not really a dream. It's a chelik of prophecy. Review. It's a chelik of prophecy because we find prophets had dreams, and that's not really called a dream. That's really called a prophecy. That's out. Second is, a real dream is Al-Yidei Malach. Who can say today they're on a Madrega where they can have a communication with a Malach? The third dream is what we really refer to with dreams that come through Shadim, which again is a terminology, three different worlds of Shadim, and Shadim are not reliable. They have an agenda. And then, there's something which he does not dwell upon, is Mazalois, Kechavim, which just quoting from sources. And then, there are things that are total nonsense. It's the subconscious mind, or it's even lower than the subconscious creativity. It is just an outgrowth of medication or food which a person eats. Okay, now let's just do from the interesting things. Where does the word chaloim come from? What is the etymology of the word chaloim? He has a lot of very interesting sources, but the one that he really dwells on is from Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch. Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch says it comes from the word chelmoin. Chelmoin is the yolk of an egg. The yolk of an egg. That's the etymology. And just like in the yolk of an egg is all the potential. It's the potential of a life form. From that yolk can come a living creature. A dream is like the most intense chomer. It's just a collection of matter which has potential to expand and to develop into something meaningful, into some message. But a yolk, think about it, a yolk, what is a yolk? Something you eat. You look at a yolk as a bird, as a creature? Of course not. It's nothing. So to a dream, the chomer is so raw. It's so raw, it's almost impossible to decipher, to take any message, any real meaning out of the word chalom. He elaborates upon this many times. He has a very interesting discussion. It's really a scientific discussion. Do animals have dreams? This is something which cannot be proven. Do dogs dream? Do elephants dream? Is there such a thing? So there's a scientific debate. There's research on this. Because we do... What do they dream about? Exactly. What do they dream about? How do they think? So this is... This question touches upon the uniqueness of man. Just like the books on this, as research, there's no conclusive evidence. He refers to some of the...
Do they dream they can have shade also?
So that's the question. The question is what is, we know that a human being is unique, intelligence. A human being has the koyach hadibur, is the koyach of kadibur. What is dibur? Dibur means communication. Is now in the koyach hadibur. Animals lack the koyach hadibur. There's no such thing as sophisticated communication by animals. But not to the degree of human beings. Not like human beings. So you have to make that distinction. You have to make that distinction somewhere. Therefore, if dream, therefore, this is a new factor to add into the equation. If animals do not dream on a level that is equivalent to a human being, what?
They can't, because you can't dream about something that you have not experienced.
These are all very theoretical concepts. But the same way human being has the koyach of communication, and a human being has the koyach of dreaming on a different level, a different madrega, animals lack, if it is true, the animals lack a sophisticated form of communication. Now we do know. You'll tell me whales and elephants, I don't know. Let's just focus on what we, from our perspective. And if it's true that animals lack a sophisticated form of dreaming, they must be related. And that indicates that a dream is a form of communication. If it's true, okay, animals do not have a koyach hadibur, at least the way we relate to it. And if it's true that animals do not have the koyach of dreaming, these two are related. The ultimate form of communication is not with man, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The koyach hadibur is, and the proof, you know what the proof is? The proof is, Vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. Hashem created Adam. Chava was not yet created. She was not yet created. And yet the Pasuk says that Adam was a person who spoke. L'ruach memalala, Targum says, a person who speaks. Who is man speaking to? If a tree falls down in the forest and there's no one to hear, no one in the vicinity to hear the impact, did the crash produce a sound? Well, if there's no one to hear the tree, all the philosophers will tell you, no, there's no one to hear. If there's no one to listen to a human being, why does the Pasuk tell us that Yehi Adam LeNefesh Chaya, Targum l'ruach memahalah. He was a speaking creature. There's no one to listen.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Man spoke.
He spoke. Targum says, who is man speaking to? Chaim wasn't created.
Yourself.
Talking to yourself? That's one answer. That's a very other answer is to Hashem. Man was a speaking because Hashem man spoke. So what do you see from the very get-go, that the Koyach HaDibur is what? Communication with the Ribbono Shel Olam. If man has a dream, and the only two things that human beings have that animals do not have, if it's true they don't have dreams, at least on a specific level, they must be related. And that indicates that just like Dibur is the Koyach of communication with Shamayim, a dream is the Koyach of communication with the upper worlds. Okay, so you spoke a little bit about Shadim. Okay, let me just finish up.
Is he talking all about the ultimate state of consciousness?
He's talking about everything here. He has everything you can imagine. There are stories, Mamar Chazal. There's a lot of material. Okay, let's just sum up with, I don't remember what I wanted to say. Okay, I'll just give you some. So over here, he has over here. What are dreams that a person? I'm just jumping around. It's not really.
Who wrote this section?
Brian.
Not exactly.
Brian.
Not exactly. Boaz Shalom. That's what it says. Now, Shechani Hashem Brev Chasta. Boaz, what a name. Boaz Shalom. Shnas vahi kasher poev shnas. Look at the way he referred to the years. Tovshin samach vav, keil tovshin samach vav vahi kasher posar lanu kain haya. Okay. Okay, there's one thing I remember. I liked it very much. Let me see if I could find it. This one nice something he puts into a pasuk. If a person has a dream twice. Okay, we'll conclude with this. If a person has a dream, a recurring dream, that is a sign that it's a true dream. And he says here something very interesting, which he ties into the pasuk. Let me see if I could find it. Give me one moment. This is...
It doesn't have to be.
Paro had two dreams, and Yosef said to Paro, "V'alhi shanois hachaloyim es Paro." The fact that you've had the dream twice is an indication that it's going to be a true dream. So, what exactly does that mean? So he quotes the Zohar. I can't find it. I'll tell you from memory because I can't seem to find it. But he quotes from the Zohar. The Zohar says that when a person has two dreams, a dream can come either from the Malach Michael or from the Malach Gavriel. And there's a very big difference. When the Malach Michael, if I'm not mistaken, when the Malach Michael presents a dream, it is absolutely 100% correct. There is no detail in the dream that is presented. But again, that's what I told you. The Ikar dream is from a Malach. The Ikar dream does not come from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's already a Nevuah. When the Malach Gavriel tells you the dream, it is 100% correct. But it doesn't happen right away. It can take 50 years for it to happen. He's telling you something that's very, very... There's a trade-off. Everything in life is about trade-offs. When the Malach Gavriel tells you a dream, it's going to happen immediately. But there are a lot of Dvarim B'Talim in the dream. Not everything in the dream is accurate. There are mistakes. Yosef said to Paro two things. V'al hishonois hachalom, you'll help me with the pasuk, pamayim.
El Paro.
Pamayim. Kinochoin hadavar.
Meimolokim.
Umimaher lasoisa. And it's going to come quick. Paro, he interprets this from the Zohar. The Zohar says, Paro had the dream twice. The first dream was from Michoel, and the second dream was from Gavriel. So when you have from Michoel, it means everything is accurate. Ki nachon hadavar me'im holokim. It's nachon. When a person has a dream, that doesn't can be total nonsense. Not every time you have a dream, that's what we learn with the shadim, especially with the shadim, you have a dream and it's not accurate. The things in the dream, they'll never happen. There are lies, inaccuracies. But when Michoel tells you a dream, it's 100% on the mark. The only draw, this trade-off is, it's not necessarily going to happen right away. But when Gavriel tells you a dream, there are inaccuracies. But it happens right away. It's going to happen immediately. Exactly what Yosef said to Parvel, he shonos achlein pamoim, you had the dream twice. One from the Malach Gavriel, and one from the Malach Michoel, and one from the Malach Gavriel. The repetition means, ki nochoin, that's from Michoel, umimaher lekim lasoisai is from Gavriel. Okay, that's one of the things. Again, I just, this is mamish, not even a tibush of him, what's out, just a little taste of dreams. I hope I didn't put you to sleep, and if I did, have sweet dreams.
Nice dreams.